believe your word. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen, amen. Well, this is the most important part of a service, when we hear the word of the Lord. And we are so happy that both of last year's speakers agreed to come back and to preach again the word of the Lord. This most important concept, amen. Everything that we have is built upon this foundation. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so we're grateful that they both decided, both agreed to come back, Elder Brown, Elder Stoltzfus, and we are grateful for that. The services will be available online. There is a QR code that you can scan with your phone, and it will take you directly to the website. It's on SoundCloud, and if that doesn't work, then I don't know what to tell you. But we will get it to you. There's papers that are printed that we will have around, that these newfangled things. This is advanced for Avondale, so you'll just have to forgive us. Hallelujah. So we're happy for all the ministers that are here. We can't thank you enough. It's an honor. It really is an honor that every one of you have joined us. Thankful for Pastor Alexander and Pastor Roman. They've both been a help and been integral in leading this and deciding things and good ideas, and so we're grateful for that. But right now we want Elder Stoltzfus to come. He doesn't need a whole lot of introduction. We all know him. We have all heard him preach last year, still tell you what he preached, still see that cord stretched across. Amen. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. Hallelujah. And we just, Elder Stoltzfus, we love you and we're glad you're here, and we just want you to take your liberty. Can you say amen?
Man, you may be seated. Hallelujah. It's always such a privilege. I was thinking as Pastor Brown began the service and we all went to the Lord and his presence, his power is here. It's here. Amen. The power of God is here. I don't ever take that for granted. Amen. 16 years of going to the church where you go week after week, three times a week, and you don't feel that. You don't feel it ever. And after a while, you just say, well, no need to come back anymore. And then God led me to an apostolic church, and I am so, so grateful tonight. So grateful unto him tonight. And every time I'm able to feel his power and his presence, it means something to me. It means something to me. That's like going to a place where you think you should feel the power of God and you don't feel it. That means something too. First of all, it means we probably won't be back. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not a game we're playing tonight. It's not. This is our life. This is what we are. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is how we do it. Amen. And we feel it all the way down inside of us. I give honor tonight to Brother Tim Brown and Sister Elizabeth Brown, Pastor and great, great job they are doing here, and to come here and to feel the church behind them. We are so grateful for that. You are very, very, very blessed here in Avondale to have a great pastor who cares about you. Amen. And you are. They used to make the statement, I don't know, they'd say, if you want to know how, if you want to know, young ladies, if you want to know how your boyfriend is going to treat you, look at how he treats his mother. Hallelujah. Well, church, when you were observing, watching Brother Tim Brown as this moment time came a while back, hallelujah, if you look at how he treated his pastor, then you get an idea of the quality, etc., that Brother Tim Brown has, and the respect that he has for his pastor flows over into a respect and an honor for you as the people of God. And there's a lot in that. Hallelujah. Amen. My good friend, our good friends, Brother Ray Brown, Sister Ethel Brown, and go way, way, way back, all the way back to where when I first got in church, Brother Brown was coming to Las Vegas and preaching there, and he has always been a friend to me. He is an elder unto me, and I'm so thankful for that. I haven't seen Brother Garrett yet, but Brother Garrett is an elder unto me. Also, is he here? Let's see. Okay. Amen. I love and appreciate Brother Garrett very, very much. Also, and these men are very, very important to us, to Pentecost, to their churches. And Brother Brown, I'm just very, very thankful for your friendship unto Brother Mefford and your friendship unto my wife and I. I give honor to my pastor tonight, Brother Mefford. What a great preacher, what a great man. What great truths he put inside of me that even though he's gone, they're still there. They're still alive. They're still valid. They're still true. Amen. They haven't lost their glow. They haven't lost their shine. They're just as alive tonight as they were back when Brother Mefford was preaching them. And I am so, so thankful. Amen. I'm thankful for all of these ministers that are here tonight. May God bless you all very, very richly. I'm so thankful for the crew that's here tonight. These young men are very special unto me. They treat me so well, and I like that. You like being treated well, don't you? Well, they treat me well, and I am grateful for them. And amen, my BBFF, my beautiful best friend forever. Hallelujah. I'm so glad my wife is here tonight. And amen. I don't like to travel without her. Hallelujah. I don't like her all the way over there either, but there she is. I don't know how that happened. But amen. And we just celebrated our 48th wedding anniversary. Hallelujah. Hats off to my wife for that. Amen. And I can say that God has been very, very good unto me. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to be a part of this fellowship with these men, with these brethren that believe the truth with all their heart. Hallelujah. Men that live the truth. I'm thankful for that also tonight. If you'd like to stand with me tonight, we're going to go to the book of John, the 8th chapter. We're going to go to the 53rd verse. And I want to preach to you tonight what this means to me. Amen. What this means to me. Hallelujah. John 8:53, the Pharisees and Jesus have some ongoing dialogues in this chapter. And they get to the point. Jesus says, if a man keep my saying, he'll never see death. They say, well, now we know you have a devil. Because our father Abraham is dead. And thou prophets, and you're saying, a man keeps your saying and never tastes death. Art thou greater? Art thou greater than our father Abraham? Art thou greater than our father Abraham? Whom makest thou thyself? Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight. And we believe in one God. This is a one God conference. This is going to be a one God message. Amen. And in the Bible, in the Word of God, in the Old Testament is one God. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. The New Testament is one God. And we go to 1 Corinthians 8:4. But unto us there is but one God. There was only one God in the New Testament. Hallelujah. And then in eternity, we go to Revelation 4:2. And John says, I saw one. One. I saw one. One. How hard is that? How complicated, how difficult is that? I saw one. This is a one God conference. I saw one sitting on the throne. Amen. My son-in-law was out on the job, and he quoted that scripture to a guy he'd been talking about the Godhead about. And he said, well, what do you think about that? He said, well, I guess the others were somewhere else at that time. I'm glad I'm one God. I'm glad I'm one God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, who's Father of all, above all, through all, and in you all. We are one God apostolics tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's no doubt that this concept, this nugget, if you want to look at it like that, this belief, when they asked Jesus, what's the first of all the commandments? He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Same passage in Luke, what is the greatest commandment? And it was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The same reference of Deuteronomy 6:4, this is it is the most important thought in all of history, in all of civilization. Amen. There's nothing that goes higher than, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. And we do know this. We do have a revelation. We do understand that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh, that he was the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person. He is the person of God. Amen. But there is so much more. There's so much more to God than just knowing that He's one. Amen. James 2:19 says, if you believe in one God, thou doest well. I love that scripture. Amen. That rises above your car breaking down, you losing your job. Amen. Your bank account being empty. All of these things, all of these day-to-day things that push us around and move us in certain directions. If you believe in one God, you're doing well. You're going to be all right. It's all going to work out if you believe in one God. Amen. There's a power in it. There's a power in it. There's a source in it. There's a place to go to find answers, to find help, to find direction. Amen. Matthew, you may be seated. Matthew 16 and 13, the famous passage. Hallelujah. Who do you say I am? Thou art Christ, Son of the living God. Amen. You're Peter, and upon this rock or upon this confession of who I am, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You ever been in a situation where you need the gates of hell not to prevail? Where you need the devil not to win? Oh God, what are we going to do? Look what's happening. If you believe in one God, if you believe on who He is, if you believe, as Brother Brown said, He's the chief cornerstone, the gates of hell are not going to win out. Amen. There is power. There's power in knowing there's only one God. There's day-to-day strength that comes from our dedication to this one God. Oh, Lord, I remember when I didn't have Him in my life. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Psalmist David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. Can you grasp that? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything's going to be provided. Hallelujah. Their shoes didn't wear out. They had manna every morning. They had a rock that followed them that brought water. They had a cloud that shaded them by day. They had a fire that warmed them by night. They had everything they needed. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Brother Meffer used to preach, and he said, hey, you know what? God will give you what you want. Now, if you want a yellow Cadillac convertible, He may not give you that. You understand the balance? James said, you adulterers and adulteresses, you seek and you done, you want, but you don't have because you're wanting in a carnal realm. You're wanting a carnal feeling and satisfaction. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It gets better as you read on. 2 Timothy 1 and somewhere in there. I know whom I have believed. Woo! I know whom I have believed. I sat on a pew and I heard Brother Mefford preach. I heard Brother Brown come. I heard preachers come. I heard it over and over. We'd get on our feet. We'd run around the church Amen. I know in whom I believe. I know there's only one God. I know his name is Jesus. I know he's the person of God. I know that. Oh, but that's not all I know. I know that he's able to keep whatsoever I commit unto him. He's able to step in and take care of whatever I'm willing to turn over to him. Amen. If you want to keep hold of it, you think, God, I got this. We're okay. Amen. You can just take your seventh day of rest again. I got it. Forget about it. You're about to have a wreck. You're about to have a disaster. Paul said, I know that he is able. He is able. He is able for anything. Amen. I've committed my wife and I's life to him, and he's kept us. I've committed my family unto him, and he's kept us. He's kept us. Oh. So as we read here in the book of John, we see the Pharisees' speech, and we see their philosophy. And art thou greater? Art thou greater than Abraham? Amen. I don't usually title my messages, but I have this one titled. They needed a new hero. They needed a new hero. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? Who makest thou thyself? John 10 and 30. I and my father are one. They picked up stones to cast at him. For what good work are you stoning me? Not for any good work, but thou being a man, makest thyself God. We go to, amen, the 30 through 32nd chapter, verses of the same chapter. Jesus talking to the Pharisees again. If you continue in my word, you're my disciple. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to any man. You remember that Egypt thing? You celebrate it every year on the Passover. Do you remember that Egypt thing? When you were slaves in the land of Egypt. And your fathers were in what God termed the iron furnace. Oh, we've never been bondage to any man. We're Abraham's seed. Oh. In the fifth verse of the same chapter. The Pharisees bring a woman caught in the act of adultery. And from their tone, from the way it's written, I don't think that they gave her time to put a robe back on. You clean yourself up. We're going to go see Jesus. I think they grabbed her, one man on each side. Amen. Hair messed up all. Disheveled, embarrassed, and drug her to Jesus. Moses commanded us. Our man Moses, he commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Oh, I love the first chapter of John. It's so powerful. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Amen. The 10th verse. He was in the world. The world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. They brought this woman to Jesus, and they had no idea. They said later on in the 9th chapter, amen, Moses we know. God spoke to Moses. We recognize that. We know Moses. But as for this man, well, we know his dad. We know his mother. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. They're no great hot shakes. What this man is just, he was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him. You ever get up in the morning and say, thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful day? My wife and I have been driving different situations, and the sunsets are so beautiful. Amen. Look what God did, hon. We drive up to our house, say, thank you, Jesus, man, for this beautiful townhouse. Thank you, God. Look at that beautiful truck sitting in the parking lot. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. But we're not the world. We're the church. We know who He is. We know what He's done. We know what He can do. Amen. Moses. Our hero Moses said, stone her. They didn't care about her. They didn't care about what she'd done. They were trying to get at Jesus. He didn't say anything. And before it was all over, it was just Jesus. I'm not worried what the world thinks about me. I'm worried about what my God. I'm not worried about how the world looks at me and identifies me. But I want to know how my God, I want to know what my God thinks about what I'm doing. Amen. Before it was over, just him and her. He said, woman, where are the accusers? Man, Lord, they all ran off. I have none. Neither do I. Neither do I. Oh, what a God. What a God we're serving. Amen. Amen, amen. We go to the book of Matthew, 12th chapter. And 21st, maybe 22nd, 23rd, 24th. Jesus says, the men of Nineveh are going to rise up in judgment against this generation. They're going to rise up in judgment against you, Pharisees and Sadducees. Amen. Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, there's a greater than Jonah here. Said the Queen of the South is going to rise up in judgment against this generation. Because she came to see what was happening. To hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Oh, how could there be anybody greater than Solomon and the temple he built and all covered with gold and all of the gold furniture? And you know, when Solomon was king, silver was counted for nothing, and we Israelites were so rich. Oh, if we could only go back to the day of Solomon. Oh, and when Solomon dedicated the temple, thousands, oh, what a deal it was. Thousands of animals died, and not one sin was taken away. They say the blood ran like a river. But Brother Garrett, not one sin. Whew. Oh, but this one that John the Baptist said, Brother Brown, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. A greater than Solomon's here. A greater than Jonah's here. A greater than Abraham's here. A greater than Moses is here. You Pharisees, you Sadducees, you've missed it. Amen. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Let's thank him. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Woo! The Pharisees, the Sadducees, you may be seated. Their attitude, their mentality, their background. Hallelujah. Their life, their speech was this. Hallelujah. We've got everything we need. Abraham's our father. Amen. They went out to hear John the Baptist. And they began telling him, you vipers, what are you doing out here? What'd you come to see? You're not coming here to repent. We know that. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, don't say in yourselves. Just don't say it, okay? Just don't say it. We have Abraham. Don't say it. I'm sick of hearing it. Just don't say it one more time. We have Abraham to our fire. Don't say it. Because you have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea what I'm doing out here in the desert. If God wanted to, he'd raise up these stones to be the children of Abraham. Just don't say it again, okay? And you understand that this is the environment that the Apostle Paul grew up in. This is the setting. The Hebrew of the Hebrews. The Sanhedrin, the high priest, the courts. This thinking, this pride, this arrogance. Amen. This self-righteousness. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Amen. You're going to be lost. Hallelujah. This was where Paul cut his teeth. This is where he learned what he learned. This is where he became a hero in this Pharisaical, Sadduceal environment, this. We have Abraham. Moses. Amen. Sixth chapter of John. Jesus told him, Moses didn't give you that manna from heaven. You missed it. It was a greater hand than Moses that sent that manna down from heaven. But you know what? As we read the Word of God and we look at Abraham, we look at Moses, and we look at these men and these great patriarchs, they were examples unto us of how to have a relationship with God, of how to talk to God, how to make altars, how to communicate with God, how to listen for God's voice. We read and they're talking to God and God is talking to them all the time. Amen. God came and spoke to Jacob from the top of a ladder. And he said, whoa, man. It's quite a place. Moses, he came to show us how to talk to God. The 19th chapter of Exodus. Amen. And it's pretty phenomenal. It's my God. It's my God we're talking about here. And God came and he said, I want you to gather the children of Israel all together because I want to come talk to them. I want them to hear my voice, Moses. I want to talk personally, directly unto them. And I want them to know what a powerful, what a majestic, what a grand God that's talking to them. So we see the setting as they go there. It's in Exodus and 19th chapter. Hallelujah. And Sixteenth verse came to pass the third day that there were thunders, lightnings. A thick cloud comes down upon the mountain. The cloud that had been following them by day came down and settled and grew all over this mountain. And there was thundering, and there was lightning. And then out of all of this majesty of the elements lifting their voices and praising this great God, and there's fire and there's an earthquake a few verses down, the smoke of the furnace from the fire being there, suddenly there's the sound of a trumpet. Yes, sir. Again, you got to keep doing it. And it gets louder. It gets louder. It gets louder and louder. It gets louder and louder. Okay, grab your breath. Louder. This trumpet gets louder and louder. And the smoke and the fire and the thunder and the lightning and all of this. And all of a sudden, God begins to speak. A voice comes out off of the mountain. I am the Lord thy God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God that brought you out of bondage. Thou shalt have no other in the middle of all of this. God begins to speak. I want you Israelites to hear it right from my own mouth. In the middle of all this happening, Brother Brown, God tells Moses, you need to go down, tell him, make sure nobody comes, touches the mountain. Moses is like, I don't think you have to worry about it, God. They're all down there cowering back in the corner. And they came to Moses in the 20th chapter. And they said unto Moses, 19th verse, you speak with us, Moses, and we will hear. But let not God. It was just a little too much, Moses. It was just, man. We don't want to hear God again. We don't want to feel the way we felt as the voice of God was going out across this valley. We don't want to feel the conviction. We don't want to feel the emptiness. We don't want to feel. Don't let God speak with us. Kind of where I'm coming tonight. Maybe you need a new hero tonight. Whew. There's so many voices. Oh, my Lord. In this world. Politicians. Movie stars that think they're politicians. Athletes. Athletes that think they're politicians. People out there wanting to tell us how to run every little portion of our life. All these voices. School districts, health districts. All these voices. God, why did the trumpet blow so loud and long? Because I wanted the sound to override every other sound that was going forth. Because I wanted you to understand that my voice is the loudest. I want my voice to be the most important. I want my voice to be the one that moves you and affects you. I want my voice to be alive in your life. Oh, Jesus. Let's raise our hands for a moment. Yes, Lord. Talk to us, God. Talk to us, Jesus. Talk to us, Jesus. Oh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God wants his voice. You may be seated for a few moments. Amen. book of Joshua. The Gibeonites is the ninth chapter. The Gibeonites come. God had told them, when you go into the land of Canaan, don't make any leagues, don't make any. Just don't make any covenants. You're going to drive those people out. Don't have any interaction with them. If you do, you're going to be serving their gods. Hallelujah. And so the Gibeonites, they come to Joshua. Their clothes are all dirty and dusty, and their hair is matted, and, you know, the edges of the pants are torn. Their shoes are all worn out and got holes in the bottom, and they're showing it all to Joshua, and their bread is moldy, and their wineskins are all worn out and about to give it all up. And they said, oh, when we heard about your God, we wanted to come here, and we wanted to be a part. Amen. Look, we've come from a long ways away. We're not from here. Amen. And the Bible says, nobody inquired of God. Nobody inquired of God. Maybe you think you got your life all together. I got a job when others don't have a job. I've got a car. I've got a girlfriend. I've got a boyfriend. I've got this. I've got that. My wife and I are moving into a brand new house. We were able to get all new furniture. Hallelujah. Man, we got a cat by the tail. We got it all going our way. But beware. Beware! Joshua didn't think about them lying to him, but God knew. Joshua just looked at what he could see with his eyes. And if you're looking at life, and you're judging everything just by what you can see with your eyes, you're being deceived. You're being led astray. It's not that you can't have all those things. Amen. Having a house, that's a blessing. Man, a yard for your kids to play in, a pool. Hallelujah. Hot water jacuzzi. Amen. A nice car that you don't have to worry about going out in the morning every morning. Man, I had a work truck every morning. It'd go about 100 yards, stop. I'd have to take the air cleaner off, get my comb, stick it in the fly of the carburetor. But he said, seek you first. You get some things straight. You get some priorities. You learn that there's a God that is so far above what we can even ask or think. He's so far above us. He's so far above all of the heroes of this world. But there's a God. There's a God. There's a God. This God eats with sinners. This God cleanses the lepers. This God can move mountains. and calm raging seas. Let's all stand tonight. I'd like Brother Tim Brown, musicians to come. There's a God here tonight that I can't even tell you a tenth of how powerful he's been, how necessary he's been, how my life would be so much different if I didn't have this God in my life. Oh, but he came. And he ate with a sinner. He came and he touched my heart. I remember having hold of that bench. I remember God talking to me. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? They're all watching you. They're all going to stare at you as you go down to that altar. But there's some churning. There's something moving. This God is so real. And I went to that altar. And I met him. And I talked to him. And he talked to me. For the first of thousands and thousands of time. Hallelujah. And I was baptized in his name. And I received the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, he's going to be a new comforter. He's not just going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. He's going to be in you. I don't have to have him on speed dial on my phone. All I have to do is say, Jesus, Jesus. How many times, son? How many times have we said Jesus? How many times have I gone to him and everything changed? A God that's in us! He is in us. Every moment. Every day. Every moment. Without him, gates of hell. Gates of hell. Yeah, gates of hell. Yeah, gates of hell have come against all of us. You felt them. You've seen them. But there's a God that's inside of us. There's a God that steps on the scene. There's a God that answers our prayers. There's a God. There's a God. I love Brother Meffer. I love the memory of Brother Meffer. But there's greater than Brother Meffer. You know who showed me this greater, Brother Brown? Brother Meffer. Brother Meffer. He said, don't look at the projector. Look at what's projected. And what was projected was a God. Oh. If you need a new hero today, if you want to step up It's a whole nother realm of a spiritual walk. There's a God just waiting to meet you at this altar. I invite you to come tonight, Brother Brown. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, raised me, how He filled me
with the Holy Ghost, healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord,
oh yes,
He picked me up, turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground.